anyway, Connie sang this song. I always think of her. And so we're thinking of you tonight. If you or your family members or whoever, this goes out to you. Just a closer walk with thee. I am weak, but thou art strong. Everybody stand up. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, as I walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently to that shore, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Let it, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be.
A closer walk with the Lord, don't we? I don't believe you can get close enough where you don't need to scooch up a little closer. And let me make sure I'm on. All right. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And I want to mention some things tonight out of Nehemiah chapter number 4. Book of Nehemiah chapter number 4. Share some things with you. Familiar account here in Nehemiah. And of course, you know the story when Nehemiah received word about the walls of Jerusalem and how they were destroyed, and of course how he approached the king, Shushan the palace, and he was granted leave so he could go. Now the men are working on the walls. And in chapter number 4, verse number 10 and 11 is going to be our specific verses for tonight. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." That's going to be our two main verses tonight. I want to share tonight a subject entitled Dealing with Discouragement. Dealing with discouragement. You can see the man there hanging on a limb. And you don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but I wonder if that's any of us tonight. Hanging on a limb, feeling like that we're about to fall. Sometimes in life it feels like it'd be easier just to let go than to hang on, you know it? But I don't believe the Lord wants any of us to let go in the sense of giving up. Now, these are the words, these verses that I read to you tonight, these are the words of a discouraged people. They said again in verse number 10 that, "And Judah said," or the Jews said, "the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." In other words, there's no more strength left to rebuild these walls. We've been working, we've been faithfully working, and the strength is decaying. And there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. To me, that's words of discouragement. And again, verse 11, "And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." More words of discouragement, or coming from a discouraged people. Discouragement is simply the absence of courage, is what discouragement is. But encouragement is the presence of courage. And so there's discouragement, the absence of courage, and then there's encouragement, which is the presence of courage. And these are just opposites. Discouragement is what encouragement is not, and encouragement is what discouragement is not. Listen to this. One man said, "I'm so discouraged, I can sit on a street curb and dangle my feet." A street curb is about this high. Have you ever been that low before, where you feel like you could sit on a street curb about like this and dangle your feet, dangle your feet off the end? That's feeling pretty low. That's being very discouraged. And so the context tonight in this chapter is that the Jews had started to build the wall, repair the wall, rebuild the wall even, and they're about halfway done. Notice verse number 6, if you would. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." So we could say that they built the wall halfway. Now, And it was when they were halfway through when they got discouraged. Do you know many times, and most of the time, discouragement will come and will rear its ugly head when you're about halfway through a project. I mean, it's nothing getting started. Sometimes it's hard getting started, but normally there's an excitement to get a project started. And there's excitement when it's done. But it's somewhere in the middle when it's the daily grind and it's the challenges that are present is when typically we can, if we're going to get discouraged, typically it's right there in the middle. And so we have Israel here, or we have the Jews, and they're halfway through and discouragement sets in. You know, people have told me from time to time, don't get discouraged, Brother Justin. Don't get discouraged. And I understand what they're saying, and I appreciate that. And I'm sure some of you that have taught a class or teach a class or done anything for the Lord and serving people have mentioned to you before, don't get discouraged. And you know what they mean. They're just wanting you to keep going and stay enthused about it. But we all know tonight that no matter how much someone says don't get discouraged, you're going to get discouraged. It's just going to happen. There's going to be times where you're right dab in the middle of a job, of a goal, and nothing's really happening. There's the absence of courage, and you will feel like maybe it's just better and easier to just let go then keep hanging on or get above my circumstances. And so I'll say, along with everybody else, don't get discouraged. But if you do get discouraged, then this lesson is for you tonight. And if you're not discouraged now, just save it for later. You may need it down the road. I want to mention some things tonight about dealing with discouragement from this particular story in this moment of time, and about these Jews, or about Judah who lost the strength to go on and they wanted to quit. Number one, they were fatigued. They were fatigued. Now, physical fatigue can bring discouragement if you're not careful. Notice again in verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength, talking about physical strength, of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. They said our strength is dying off. It's decayed. They said our strength has expired. There's no more here to give. And so there is a physical element here of fatigue that they're getting at. And so they had been working and laboring. Keep in mind, the wall is halfway built. And so they've been digging in the rubbish. They've been carrying the stone. They've been slinging the hammers. And they've been following orders, laboring faithfully day after day, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, however long that they've been working, they've been doing it, and they've been doing it faithfully. I'll just say this, that there are times where we suffer from physical fatigue. Just working daily, laboring faithfully, whether it's at church for God or whether it's at home or some job somewhere. If we're not careful, we can suffer from physical fatigue, which can lead to discouragement, because you plainly just want to keep going. You want to keep working. You want to see results. You want things to fit. You want them to work out. But after a while, we can get physically fatigued if we're not careful, and it can bring discouragement. You say, well, Brother Justin, I don't get physically fatigued. There's no way physically that I can get worn out. Well, we all know that that's not true. If Jesus got tired and fatigued, we too can get tired and fatigued. We may not say it, especially us men sometimes. We're like, oh, we don't get tired. We're not tired. What are you talking about? You know, we're men. You know, we're men. The Bible talks about quit you like men. And so men are a type of breed that always has to have the fist held high and moving forward. I know some women that way too. I'm looking at some that seemingly never get tired. But we all, you remember the old saying, halt? It's H-A-L-T. If you're hungry, Krista gets on to me. I say hungry. Because I don't get hungry. I get hungry. Okay? If you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely, if you're tired, halt. Stop. Be careful. Because you can get into some kind of trouble. Has anybody in here ever been so hungry that you've gotten angry? Maybe that's how we got the word hangry. Huh? It's hungry and angry. Hangry. There's been some times that I myself have been so hungry that I've gotten angry. Or I've got myself into some trouble. But not even that, just more than that, just, you know, being angry, you can get into trouble, being lonely or tired. So just whenever we have those moments, we just need to halt. We need to be careful. You know, again, I said that Jesus got tired and fatigued. He slept on a boat. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat blood, all of those things. He was 100% God, 100% man. Because he was in human flesh, he felt those pains. He felt that agony. That's why the Bible says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, we have a high priest who knows what it's like to be tired, who knows what it's like to be hungry, who knows what it's like even to be angry in a sense. When he cleared out the temple and overthrew the tables, the money-changing tables. Let me scoot up here. I don't want to fall on my back. And all of those things. Lonely, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Tired, he was tired. And so tonight, when it comes to these men, these people that were working and who were halfway through the wall, they were fatigued. Again, verse number 10, the Bible says, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. So fatigue tonight can certainly lead to discouragement. So my message in point number one is just take care of yourself. And you know that I am preaching to myself as well. When I'm pointing out, you know, I've got fingers coming back this way. I got four coming back this way. I have to take care of myself if I'm going to be father, if I'm going to be husband, if I'm going to be father, if I'm going to be pastor and anything else. I've got to take care of myself. You got to take care of yourself too. And you can't do everything. You can't please everybody. You can't be everywhere at the same time. And so the quicker we learn that, the better. Let's take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others. Now, number two, when it comes to dealing with discouragement from this story, we see they were fatigued, but number two, they were frustrated. All found in verse number 10. Notice the second part of verse number 10. The Bible says, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. That's the words of frustration to me. I'll tell you why. Because there was debris left. From where those walls burnt and were charred and left in ashes. There was ash heaps. There was rubbish. Whenever the walls fell and however it happened totally, altogether, it was a mess. You remember seeing pictures and video of 9/11 after all that happened? Can you imagine in New York being there during that time? And I can remember I was actually finishing up on my education at the adult education place, getting my GED. And I can remember it coming over the intercom, and I was sitting there, and I was taking math class. And I heard about that, and I went home, and I seen it. And so there was, like, smoke in the city for weeks and months even, I think. It was a smoky place, rubbish everywhere. I watched a movie one time that was based off of that event. I can't remember. Nicolas Cage was in it. He was one of the firemen, and he was trapped for like days and days on end, and no doubt there were people that were trapped and trying to come out of that. There was just a lot of rubbish. It was a very, very fatal event, and so if you can picture that, to an extent, that's how this situation was. They had been working. They had been digging through the rubbish. They have been cleaning and preparing, getting all this debris out of the way, erecting these walls. They were halfway done, and their strength was just leaving their body physically. They said, there is just much rubbish. There's too much debris. If I could say it this way, there's too much damage. There is no way that we'll be able to build this wall. These are the words of frustration to me, especially when someone has already halfway done the job. They're halfway done. And so their strength is leaving them, and they began to be frustrated because they still got the other side of the wall to go, and there is much rubbish. There was a lot of debris that had to be cleaned up. They also had to, listen, sort through the debris to find the stones to reuse. They were going to reuse these stones all that they possibly could. Where do you get that, Brother Justin? Verse 2. These were the taunting words of the enemy. Notice 3/4 of the way down. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You could take it how you want to take it. I believe that they were looking for some stones to be reused for this wall. They were going to reuse these stones. But you see, they had to sort through the rubbish. They had to sort through the debris to find the good things that they could use. Did you know that many times in life that we deal with so much debris, so much rubbish? It may be family rubbish. It may be work rubbish. It may be personal rubbish. And we get frustrated because we want to complete. We want to advance. We want to move forward. We want to be used by God. We want to enjoy life. But there's so much rubbish, sometimes we quit before we even get started. Am I right about it? And so here these men were. They were, for so long now, they were digging through the debris. And if I had a word of encouragement tonight, if you're discouraged, it would be this. Keep digging through the rubbish because there are some stones worth saving. Now, I know you may have some family problems, and I know you may have some work problems or some personal problems, and there may be a lot of stuff that's been messed up, but guess what? Keep digging. Keep working. Keep praying. Keep hoping because God can restore in all of these areas. He can restore families. He can restore things at work. He can allow you to find some gems in the rubbish. He can allow you to find some things that can be restored. There's some stones worth saving in the rubbish. You just kind of, you got to stay focused and stay out of the frustration area. Whenever you start to get frustrated, stay away from that, because frustration can lead to discouragement. So there's some stones worth saving in the rubbish. It's all worth the work. But tonight, it is a true thing that frustration can lead to discouragement. All right, and of course, keep in mind, this discouragement came when they were halfway done with the wall. All right, so not only they were frustrated, they were fatigued, but they feared. They feared. Fear can certainly lead to discouragement. Now look at verse number 11. And our adversaries said, these are the words coming from God's people. So in other words, they heard the conversation of the adversaries, or someone told them. But it does say, and our adversaries said, which implied they heard. The Bible says, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So this verse plainly says that they were scared. They were scared. If they weren't scared, if they didn't fear, if they weren't concerned, it would not even be here. But it is stated here that they heard their adversaries say they're going to die. Have you ever been working and just on it constantly, trying to be all you can be for God and your family and for those around you, only for the enemy to whisper in your ear, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. The devil's told me that. The devil's told me before that I'm going to die at a young age. I mean, and the only reason why I know that I'm not going to die right now, today, now I could, but it wouldn't be the devil telling me. Now, just hear me well what I'm about to say. I can show you a place or two in the Bible, but I've heard many people say that whenever their loved one was getting ready to pass, that they would have dying grace. There would be this desire to move on to the other side. Now, Paul in the Bible, there in the book of Timothy, talks about, at least I can glean a little bit of dying grace from a few verses. He says, my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. He said, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Now, Paul, I believe, was desiring to leave, to depart from this world. And I just believe that it was in his heart to be there and not here. Of course, and in another place in Philippians, he talked about, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I don't know which one I'll choose. I'm in a rock and a hard place. I want to go to heaven, but at the same time, there's work for me to do here. But that's getting offside the point here. Now, the devil, if not the devil himself, one of his employees, I said, oh boy, you're going to die. You're going to die at a young age. You're going to leave your family. You're going to leave Christy a widow and Lily, you know, no dad. And you know what would follow that? Discouragement. Discouragement. You know, the Lord is not the author of confusion. He's not a discourager. He doesn't give us the spirit of fear. So it's from the enemy. And so what we have here, we have the enemy breathing threatenings upon God's people. And they said, the Bible says in verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. There was a fear from their hearts here, because when they said, the enemy said, they're not going to see us, what does that mean they're going to be doing? If they heard the enemy said, they're not going to see us, we're going to sneak in on them and we're going to get them. They're going to be looking over their shoulder each and every day, which will slow down the work. And yet we have, and myself included at times, we have Christians who are looking over their shoulder and worried and fearful about a lot of things and not really working as much as they could or being productive as they could for the Lord at home, your God-given responsibilities. Listen, we're not to live in fear. We're not. The Lord has given us power over our minds. We can have a sound mind or a disciplined mind. And all this is spiritual warfare. So the question is, what did they say? Now, we see in verse number 11, they said that they won't know till we come in the midst of them and slay them. But in verse number 1, I want to say, verse number 1 through 3, we see what they said. But verse number 1, we see that the enemy was mad when they heard about the progress. Verse 1 of chapter 4, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And so first of all, the enemy got mad when they heard about it, when they heard about the progress of Jerusalem. The enemy got mad. Can I tell you that the devil don't disturb dead ducks? The devil does not disturb dead ducks. Preacher told me that one time when I first got saved. In other words, you can actually be encouraged if you're being attacked, because that means you're a threat to the enemy. And so when he heard it, they were halfway done, he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So the enemy was mad when they heard, but then, number two, the enemy mocked them when he heard it, when they heard it. Verse number 1, he says, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Well, how did he mock the Jews? Starting in verse number 2. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? So if he mocked God's people, I have in my mind's eye almost some sarcasm here, almost maybe a smirk or a laugh or a chuckle after he says this. What do these feeble Jews? And you know, when the Lord is using you and using me, the enemy is like, he has his arms crossed and he's saying, what does Jeff think he's doing? What does Sharon think she's doing? What does Calvary think they're doing having another Jubilee? They got a little prayer list, look. That's the attitude of hell tonight. And every demon in it and their leader, the devil, that is the attitude of the enemy, is mockery. And the enemy gets mad when he sees a people, a church, doing something for God. And so tonight, when we look at this story, we see that fear can lead to discouragement. Don't listen to the devil if he's telling you nothing's going to come out of Jubilee. Don't listen to the devil if he on your shoulder is saying, you signed up to go pray and nothing's going to happen. Don't listen to that. Because God hears our prayer as his children. And the Lord, he will move. He will use our prayers and he will move in our midst. I believe that, because he sees that we want him to do something for Jubilee. But he mocked What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Are they really going to build this wall of protection to protect themselves from us? And you know, every time you and I strive to protect ourselves spiritually, when we pray, we think about, we read the Word of God, we go to church, we're starting to feel good about some things, like we're finally getting some strength, and the devil comes along or some of his entourage and says, what are they doing? Are they really going to protect themselves? Oh, they can walk straight on Sunday, but I'm going to get them on Monday. Oh, they think they're going to walk straight on Monday? I'll get them on Tuesday. I'll get them on Wednesday. And so this is the attitude of the enemy. And listen, this was a revival that was taking place. A revival of protection around Jerusalem and these walls. And so that you can expect the enemy to creep in during the times of revival. During those times where God wants to do something great, where He is doing something great, you can expect attack from the enemy. Now, he also says, will they sacrifice? Will they give their time? Will they offer sacrifice? Everything about a sacrifice. Will they sacrifice? Oh, look at Justin over there doing his little prayer. What kind of sacrifice is he making to God? Oh, God, I'm going to serve you. Oh, God, I'm going to live for you. What kind of sacrifice is that? Is he really going to sacrifice? You know, the devil, he loves to make fun of our sacrifice. I can remember in the book of Genesis when Abraham, when he laid down the sacrifice in one place, the Bible says that the fowls of the air came down to get it. And he fought off those fowls. The devil wants to steal your sacrifice. There were some tools in the Old Testament economy, they were flesh hooks. And they were to arrange the sacrifice on the altar. They were to arrange it. And if you can imagine sliding around a bloody sacrifice, you might need some kind of flesh hooks unless you're going to grab it barehanded and keep that sacrifice on that table, on that altar. And so we need to spiritually keep our sacrifice on the altar. Fought the devil off in the power of the Lord. And whenever we feel like we're getting ready to stray because the battle is so heavy and we're battling fear and we're battling discouragement, just grab those spiritual flesh hooks and arrange it back on that altar. Now the enemy says, will they sacrifice? What a mockery he's making out of God's people. And then he says, will they make an end in a day? In other words, they're not going to finish this project in one day. It's going to take them forever. They're not even going to finish it. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What are they going to use for product? What are they going to use to rebuild the walls? Oh, they're going to revive those stones? No, those stones are burned and charred. Those can't be used again. How many times does the wicked one, how many times does our own flesh, our mindset say, God can't use us again? Or there's no way that God can use us. There's just so much rubbish, and I've been burnt. Look, who hasn't been burnt by the world? Who hasn't been burnt by bad decisions at times? Who hasn't experienced those things in life? And the enemy says, there is no way that God will use you again. And I got a word of encouragement tonight that there may be much rubbish in your life and mine. Guess what? God knows how to empower us to keep us digging to find the good that's still there. It may be buried, but it's still there. Keep on digging. Keep on going. That's the word of encouragement tonight. And so he says all of these things. Verse number 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So he's the enemy is kind of admitting that they're going to get something done. Now, the enemy already knows they've got something done, but he's kind of implying that they're going to make a little headway, because he says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build. So he's implying that there's a possibility that they may get something done. But then he negatively says again, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. And so I think it's something that the enemy sees some productivity here that they have done and potentially that they're going to do. And we know they finished the wall. The devil don't deal with dead ducks, only live ones. And he sees what you have done in your life for God. He sees all the good decisions you've made. But also at the same time, the devil has seen the good things you have done, but he's also threatened by the future things that you'll do. I believe that. That's what the scriptures indicate here, that the enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah, has seen all the wall that has already been built, half of it, and they're implying here that there's still a possibility that they may complete it. And so you're a threat. You're a threat to the enemy, just like I'm a threat to the enemy. He's seen what we have done, and he knows what we can do. Of course, it all hinges upon the Holy Spirit enabling us. But he says, if they do build anything, a fox will go up and break it down. And so it's just mockery. It's mockery. And so the enemy mocked. The enemy was mad. And as a result of this, the people of God feared. And they feared themselves to a place of discouragement. Let me remind you tonight what Babe Ruth said. It's baseball season. Getting close. Babe Ruth once said, don't let the fear of striking out prevent you from playing the game. So what if you swung and missed a few balls? You know, Babe Ruth, he was either missing them and striking out or hitting homers. Talking about an extremist. He was one way or the other. Let me remind you what Hank Aaron said. In fact, it's embroidered on the Braves City Connect jerseys on the bottom. You know what it says? Three words. Keep on swinging. Keep on swinging. Don't let fear keep you from playing the game. Don't let fear keep you from picking up the bat. So what? You missed a few. So what? Keep on swinging. Also, Babe Ruth said another statement. I believe it's something like this. I stand corrected if I'm wrong, but he said, sometimes the loudest boos from the crowd come from the back. If you think about that a moment. Those who are not involved in your life every day, those who haven't seen you in a while and talked, sometimes the loudest boos come from the back row. I thought that was something. And so keep on swinging. Grab that bat and swing it for the Lord one more time. And so they feared, but then lastly, I'm going to leave you with this. They focused. All right, verse number, let's see. Still in chapter 4, notice if you would, in verse number 20. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet? There's that trumpet again. Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Look at this. So we labored in the work. How do they labor in the work? They labored in the work by knowing that and believing that God has their back, that God would fight for them. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. They labored in the work. You go back and read the verses. A hammer some had in one, they had in one hand, and a sword in the other. And they just knew and they believed that God was going to protect them and repel the enemy. Again, the enemy says, y'all are not going to know when we're going to sneak in and get you. So they had to come to a place where they believed God had their back. Do you know the place, if we're going to see revival, it's going to start in our lives in particular, one by one, and we have got to believe that God has our back. I mean, no doubt there's some things that we need to turn our back to. We need to turn our back to the voice of the enemy. There may be some other things we need to turn our back to, but what we need to do is turn our back and keep on working and allow God to watch our back. That's exactly what they did. Now, back in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work." And again, verse 20, verse 21, "To the rising of the morning, till the stars appeared." God had their back. And so, focus can lead to encouragement. When their focus was right, they went right back to work. And you know the end of the story. The wall was built. And one time we did a message, we did a series of messages on Sunday nights about the gates and exactly what they mean and how long it took to build them. That was an interesting study. But they focused. But first they feared. And again, they were frustrated. They were fatigued. But tonight, that's the message. That's the lesson, is just simply dealing with discouragement. We all deal with it from time to time. But don't get so discouraged that you feel like you could sit on a street curb and dangle your feet off of it. All right? We're here to help one another, pray for one another, reach out to a brother or sister. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. I pray, God, that you would use this simple lesson as a blessing to those that are here, to those that are probably, hopefully, watching on Facebook, listening online. We lift up everybody on our prayer list, Miss Diane, Miss Connie, Miss Cassie, oh Lord, the Palmers, and everybody else going through times of hardship. Lord, we pray that you would just show up in their equation, Lord, and be God to them. And Father, we just pray for our prayer meeting on Friday into Saturday, Lord, that we would give ourselves to you in prayer, and for Jubilee Sunday through Thursday. Every preacher, every singer, every helper here at the church that's helping out in some measure, in some fashion, let those that are coming and going be all safe. Let your hand be upon everybody. Save souls is our prayer, and bless the saved as well. Bring those that are falling from afar back to the cross. And Lord, we will give you all the glory, because you alone deserve it and are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, anything else to mention before we dismiss? Okay. Well, everybody be safe, and good Lord willing, if we don't see some of you on Friday, there's maybe a time or two there's overlapping, but we'll see you for sure on Sunday. All right, you're dismissed.